paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Cult is a religion with no political power. Tom Wolfe. Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly.
I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And this podcast is... How did I describe it earlier?
Are we talking about stuff that gives us a willy?
Yes. Creeps us out. Has some grim subject matter.
Makes us uncomfortable.
Angry. But also, we do it in a way that is also a little comical, because that's just kind of how we deal with this subject matter in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's never meant to...
A little laughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And some banter along the way as well. And we never mean to, like, offend or, you know, be... insensitive to anything, but that's just kind of how we deal with this stuff.
Yeah, most definitely not, but I assume that I will be offensive.
Certainly. Well, I mean, we'll look forward to that.
I'll try to be right.
But yeah, we've been friends for almost 20 years.
I hadn't done the math.
It's been
so and I can't do it that quickly in my head, but
it's been about 20 years.
Well, I think we are coming up on our 20th
High school reunion.
Yeah, so it's been almost at least 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. That we've been in each other's orbit, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's, I mean, that's more than half of our life.
Yeah, which is wild.
And honestly, I can't imagine doing this with anybody else. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
a treat.
Mostly. Just kidding.
But yeah, this is our new podcast. You know, we're kind of
navigating the sales of podcasting in general. You know, it's really funny. I listen to a lot of podcasts frequently, and I feel like every podcast recently has talked about in their first like year or two, they were like, we had no idea what the fuck we were doing.
Seems accurate.
Which we're at.
Yeah. Which is also like kind of comforting.
That's good.
You know, because
everyone, you have to start from somewhere, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that, because you do all of the work for this podcast, and I show up and just make an ass of myself, so I'm glad that you are getting some comfort
from that.
Yeah,
specifically. I mean, it's just, I can't think of the last time I did something the first time and did it, like, perfectly, right?
Right.
You know, it takes some time to kind of figure out audio and editing and just all of that stuff, so... Just having some patience with us would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're growing.
We're most appreciated.
We're like a homegrown, grass-fed, organic USDA.
Yes.
We're a little, yeah, non-GMO podcast. With not a little bit of wine, let's be real. With a lot of wine. But yeah, welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly.
How was your Thanksgiving? What did you make?
We made 3 things. We did pigs in a blanket, but like adult pigs in a blanket.
Like you made the other day?
The pumpkin?
Yes. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
We made that.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. And then we did like a squash thing, which was like what was like a recreation from a restaurant that we went to up in Lopez Island.
Okay.
And then we did mashed potatoes because it was a lot. I don't think anybody else did 3 dishes, but since we're the chefs in the family, like, you always kind of want to make sure that if everything else sucks, then you have enough food that's not sucky.
Yeah, you have like the filler.
Make sure that like people at least have like some carbs in their system and like can drink a little bit more.
Because yeah,
a family thing.
Also, potlucks are challenging.
This family does like a potluck style Thanksgiving, so everybody contributes. And so I was like, just in case
it wasn't great,
there was enough that we could at least get full on what we brought.
And ahead.
Yeah.
So rude.
I know. And then I was so full, I didn't eat any dessert.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I did cranberry bliss bars, like the Starbucks.
That sounds so good.
Which actually came out pretty well. I winged it.
I was pretty proud of myself.
And then I made stuffing.
because I always make stuffing. Have I ever told you how my mom made stuffing growing up?
No.
Dude.
Do you like stuffing?
I fucking love stuffing.
Okay.
But growing up, my mom, my parents were both like really big into seafood. And so my mom would make oyster stuffing.
Go on about the oysters.
Like full, they would get oysters over the summer because that's when you're supposed to harvest oysters and freeze them.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she would then make stuffing with like oyster stock she made.
Okay.
Which is pretty amazing. Yeah. Like, because she also used the same stock to make clam chowder growing up. But
I mean, homemade.
Homemade. Yeah. She'd make her homemade stock with the oysters that were frozen and chucked. And she put in the stuffing, which, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because it's like probably the last of their oysters, right?
I just never heard of this in my life. This is such a Pacific Northwest.
It really is. But like, honestly, the oysters were the most offensive part of the stuffing.
Go on.
I love my mother. She's a great person. But she would put fucking water chestnuts.
Oh, water chestnuts are
in her stuffing. Well, no. What are they?
I have no idea.
They are radish. They only come in a can. I've never seen that.
A nut.
Was it even a nut? I don't know. But you put fucking oysters in water chestnuts or stuffing. And my dad loved it, which is very sweet. And like, I think everyone else just dealt with it. But like, I was very much the outspoken, like, please stop making the stuffing. I hate it so much.
So you started making.
So now I always make stuffing.
Oh, God.
Which I do like just like a classic apple, cranberry, Italian sausage.
Oh, that doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mix it with.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to stuffing and dressing and all of the things that.
Well, I guess it is technically dressing if it's not a turkey, right?
But it, yeah, I don't know. In 2023, they're both
the same thing. And to me, they're both foul as fuck. But it's okay.
It does sound a lot better.
It's basically like bread casserole, right?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. Do you put sage in there? Sage seems
to do it go well.
Put sage.
Yeah.
And like rosemary.
I like
I would try yours. Maybe a bite.
Okay. Well, I guess I win in that category.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. Fucking, I hate wire chestnuts, I guess is the moral of the story.
I mean, that was just atrocious.
Like, why? Not even, like, chopped up, like, full on the circle of water chestnuts.
Like, I just think it's really interesting that the water chestnuts are the most offensive part of the stew. A frozen, however many months, 6 months, 3 months old oysters.
You know, I mean, that was what I grew up on, though. Anyways, this is not a Thanksgiving podcast.
What are we talking
about? What we're talking about today, I backpack a lot, as you know.
Yes.
I do a lot of, like, hiking, a lot of backpacking. And I watch a lot of videos of, like, gear reviews of backpacking gear. I'm, like, that type of nerd on YouTube.
Sure.
And I noticed a lot of these videos popping up about a specific cult.
Oh.
That recruits people off of the Appalachia Trail.
Okay.
They have like a hostel and stuff. And they're also, I mean, they're everywhere now. But yeah, it kind of, those backpacking videos led me to this cult. And so I'm going to tell you about the 12 Tribes cult today.
Wow. I didn't see this coming.
Okay. I mean, good. I'm here.
Good.
Okay. All right. So the 12 Tribes cult was started by Elbert Eugene Spriggs.
It's a twofer.
Yeah.
Okay. Three names.
Gene Spriggs. Elbert Eugene Spriggs.
Okay.
He went by Gene. Elbert, I feel, is a name now for like a bulldog.
Okay. Sure. It's giving bulldog.
His mother's name was Mabel.
Okay.
Which is also
very. Was this?
He was born in like 1930s.
Oh, okay.
Like 1938.
Okay.
So Mabel, it was his mother. We don't really know a whole lot about her. All we know really about his parents was that they were very, very deeply Methodist.
Okay.
He was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee area, deep south. And yeah, deeply religious family, like very Methodist. We go to church 3 times a week type of family.
Sure.
And all I could find about him with his like upbringing is he was a very troubled youth.
Okay.
Like, that was it. That was coming from their website. They have a website, 12 Tribes. Fast forward to 1950s. Eugene, that's how he goes by, was married 3 times.
You know, I was going to say troubled youth for a church 3 times a week family might just be like, he didn't want to go to church
three times a week.
I mean, fair.
Married 3 times is a big red flag.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We've got our eye on him.
Yeah. Jean. Yeah. So by the 1950s, he'd been married 3 times. Which 1950s standard, being married and divorced 3 times is pretty fucking intense.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah.
I mean, a woman can do that in that era.
Yeah, and you said he was born in the 30s. Yeah, I assume these weren't very long marriages.
No. Yeah. No, not at all. Yeah, because he was like 20s during that era. So after his 3 divorces, he kind of just started doing a lot of odd jobs, kind of like a drifter.
Where
he like joined the army for a little bit. He was a travel salesman back when travel salesmen were a thing before Expedia.
And wow.
Remember those?
No.
Did you ever watch, what was the movie? My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes.
Where she was like, she was a travel salesperson.
Wow.
Like, she had a travel agency and would sell plane tickets and hotels and stuff.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Like, travel agent.
Yeah.
Travel agent.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Got it.
But he was also in the army. He had a bunch of like other random really odd jobs. He ended up being a carny in the 60s.
Okay.
In the South. So 3 times married, divorced, carny in the South. And he claims that one day he was looking around at all the people at the carnival and God spoke to him. Yeah. And asked, is this what I created you for?
Listen, no offense to the carnies, but most certainly not. No, certainly not.
I mean, maybe someone's out there really likes his carny life and
yeah, all the children laughing and having a good time.
Right? Like, a lot of lights, a lot of cotton candy, a lot of fucking corn dogs.
Sure. Okay.
You know, I mean...
But Gene must have felt like this was not God's purpose.
Yes. He felt like... He said that when God spoke to him that day, he felt he had a bigger purpose.
Okay.
So, 3 times divorced, Gene decides to go to the West Coast.
Okay.
During the late 60s movement of... kind of the hippie era, but also the Jesus movement, which doesn't really get talked about a lot in history classes. This is where it was kind of like a counterculture. They had this idea that Jesus was like a counterculture icon.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was kind of like getting back to the grassroots of the Bible and living off the land and maybe rejecting that conservative 1950s parents vibe that they had growing up. So while out there, Gene meets his 4th wife. This is the one that sticks. Her name's Marcia.
Okay. We don't like her.
Okay. No. No one in this story is fucking great. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Marcia's not great, but he meets Marcia, they get married. And so they're out in like kind of in the West Coast era for like a couple years. And they decide that they don't like the hedonist activity that's happening.
Sure.
In the 60s? In the 60s.
Sure.
It wasn't conservative enough for them.
Oh, and here is the complication.
That's the thing about hippies. I think people think of like hippies in like kind of this era as liberal and like peace and love. Hippies were kind of conservative.
Oh, okay.
Like they were definitely a little bit homophobic.
Well, the Christian ones.
Yeah, the Christian ones. I mean, but there's also a lot of hippies out there that also kind of just still have like those Christian fundamental values, especially like on the conservative side, but like they were also a little bit counterculture.
Okay.
I don't know. Like hippies, it's not like just a bunch of people like fall in the Grateful Dead. There was also a lot of like different types of.
So my mom was the intersection of Christian fundamentals and, you know, like to smoke a little weed.
Yeah.
Kind of hippie.
Yeah. And there was a lot of that out there.
Sure.
You know, and my parents were pretty big hippies too, you know, I mean, but they both grew up really strictly Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like
Catholic and Baptist.
Yeah. So there was a lot of those hippies that kind of came from that background. You can't completely throw that away for a lot of people, you know, especially if you run up with that way. But like, yeah. You kind of, it's almost like a type of expression where you're getting out there and like you're kind of rebelling against your parents and society. Or,
but you can only take it so far.
You can only take it so far.
Sure.
Right.
Only as far as you're
able to
push it.
And so, you know, I mean, yeah. So there was a lot of like peace, love, a lot, you know, whatever, drugs and stuff. But like, you know, Marcia and Jean decided that it was a little too much.
Okay.
They wanted to step back from that a little bit.
Do we know where they were? What part of the...
It just said West Coast.
Okay.
I couldn't find anything else besides that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming probably like San Francisco.
Yeah, let's assume it's California.
Mm-hmm. I always assume like San Francisco or LA.
Which terms like this type of stuff.
Okay. But yeah. Gina and Marcia decided to go back to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay.
Which is like...
Who's actually going to be there?
And Tucky. Yeah, for sure. Like Nashville is definitely a...
Yeah.
Yeah, very liberal. But they go back to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they decide that they're going to bring back this kind of group that created over on the West Coast. So kind of a subset of Christianity, you know, they still follow the Bible, but, you know, they're kind of more of that grassroots Jesus movement Bible vibe.
Okay.
There's a lot of cults that came from the Jesus movement, like Jonestown is a big one.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot that kind of faded out, but 12 Tribes specifically likes to talk about how they came from this movement and are still going.
Okay. So we're like Jonestown adjacent here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I can't remember what year the Jonestown massacre happened. I think it was like 75 or something like that.
No, I thought it was the 80s, but
no.
No.
I don't know. I'm going to Google it right now, actually.
It's been a while since I was into Jonestown.
Became infamous on November 18th, 1978.
That's when they did it?
Yeah. So, I mean,
okay. But like, so right, they're in the same...
Yeah, kind of the same era. This was probably early 70s when this happened.
Okay.
I decided to move back.
Okay.
So, Marcia and Jean, they moved back to Chattanooga. They bring back a congregation, almost. Like, they have a group of people that kind of... They all live together in, like, this communal environment.
Okay.
In fact, actually, when they move back to Chattanooga, there's, like, 50 or 60 people living in the same fucking house.
It sounds like it's already a cult to me.
That cult
vibes. The inception of the cult was already...
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, you know, Gene, like, he was kind of regarded as, like, a charismatic person. Like, most cult leaders are. They're just, like, these fucking small dudes who just can talk really well and, like,
well, fill you. Not forget that he knows how to entertain people. And be jovial.
It's like a carny.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, most carnies are pretty irritating.
They are.
That's, you're not wrong.
Bills, too. They got to
convince
you to stop by the booth.
Stop by the booth. Buy this shit. Get a goldfish. It's got to live in 24 hours. And that's going to go.
They got to make you believe that you want a giant stuffed animal that you don't want.
You want this fucking pink giraffe
the size of your
11-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go back to Chattanooga. And they started going to a Presbyterian church, which I don't really
know the difference
between Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, all like subsets of Christianity, right?
It's all the same.
The same? I mean, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but like
different hymns.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's all fucking stupid. Just be a good person. Don't be a dick to people. That's always what I say when it comes to like religious values. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, mind your business.
Mind your business.
Do your best.
Don't bury your head in the sand, but it's a fine line. It's a gray area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Gina and Marcia. So they go back to Chattanooga. They start joining a fundamentalist church. They create a group called, what's it called? It's the Vine Church. So they're part of this fundamentalist church, but they start calling themselves the Vine Church, which kind of sounds like before they kind of branch off, it was almost like a Bible study group.
Sure. Okay.
A massive one.
Okay.
Like 50 or 60 people.
Okay.
A huge group living together.
Okay.
Studying the Bible together in this fundamentalist Bible way.
Okay.
Okay. We did church on Sundays at this fundamentalist church.
Okay.
So on January 12th, 1975, the Super Bowl is on.
Okay.
The pastor of this fundamentalist church decides he's going to cancel service for the day to watch the Super Bowl.
This is the South now. He's a cool pastor.
I mean,
a regular pastor.
He's like, I get it. This is probably a big deal for a lot of people out there. Let's just like Jesus can wait until we we'll put a pin in this to watch Super Bowl and eat pigs in a blanket, probably. Yeah. But that goes yours now. No puff pastry.
Were Crescent rolls around then?
I think so. Probably.
Proper ones.
I mean, were pigs in a blanket made by...
Listen, my husband and I have had conversations about whether pigs in a blanket are like savory, like what I made, or are they sweet, which is sausage wrapped in a pancake.
Oh.
Which is also pigs in a blanket.
Oh, no.
The kind I'm more inclined to order. Like a breakfast sausage down or a little pancake.
Hurry up that.
Well, you're missing out.
Am I? Yes. I do like sweet and salty.
You do. You would love it.
Super Bowl. So pastor cancels the sermon. Church day.
What? Something like that,
right? Service. Mm-hmm. Service. Service.
Sure.
So he cancels the service for the Super Bowl.
I looked it up. It was like the Packers versus the Steelers. That just seemed like a big deal.
But like, it's not even either of them were Tennessee teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
It wasn't even the first Super Bowl either.
So what was the first?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, okay.
I know it was the first though.
When Gene sees that the pastors cancel service, I imagine them like driving up to the church, doors are locked, saying, canceled, go have fun, Super Bowl. I'm the cool pastor.
Gene is not cool.
Gene is not fucking cool with this.
Wow.
Gene's like, now we're gonna have our own service.
This is too mainstream for me.
This is too mainstream. You care too much about pop culture. You care too much about what's going on, like the outworldly influences, right?
Wow.
And this is where kind of this feels like the inception, the real inception of the cult.
Got it. Okay.
This is the straw. This is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay.
Super Bowl Sunday. So Gene decides to start holding his own services, local parks, and kind of like in like an outdoor vibe, which kind of also breathes into like that Jesus movement. This is like well into the 70s at this point. So he does that for a couple of years. He's holding his outside sermons. He's starting to baptize people. He's starting to appoint church elders. Like, it's becoming like a full-fledged separate religion. At this point, he's also starting to bring in people from the outside fringes of society, especially the young people. That was like his big thing. He would like find people who are experiencing homelessness and maybe have been kicked out or kind of burnt out from the hippie movement, and bringing them in. And sure. Like, we'll give you a cot, some food. Just you have to
be a member.
Be a member.
Okay.
And listen to Jesus in this specific way.
So
he does this for a couple of years. And then this is also when he starts asking everyone to contribute funds to the group, which is kind of a quintessential cult thing, right?
Yeah, like, give me all your assets so you have nothing. This is like a communal thing. We're only sharing.
With that, he opens the Yellow Deli, which I will get back to you.
Okay. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in that. But he also buys a couple other houses.
Oh, he's buying houses.
He's buying houses.
Homeless people's money. This was the 1970s.
He's like having everyone liquidate their assets, give them money. So he's like, oh, so he's like, so when you're bringing other members who maybe don't have as much money as you do. They have like a couple like houses now, and they have the Yellow Deli,
and they're all living together,
and they all are living together in these, I think it's like two or three houses at this point.
Sounds tight.
Yeah, that sounds smelly.
Honestly, it does.
So they also kind of started expanding to Georgia at this point, which was another thing. Like, they started buying more houses over in Georgia, so they have Georgia and Tennessee.
Okay.
And with this acquisition of land, people are starting to notice. Specifically, the First Presbyterian Church that they were once a part of.
Okay.
And this is when also Jonestown is happening. I think it just happened. And so, like, now they're starting to get bring those cult.
Oh, wow. Immediately.
Immediately. They're immediately.
This is a breath.
They're raising the alarm. Oh, yeah. So people start calling them a cult.
They're a cult.
At this point.
Okay. Sure.
I have read from a lot of, like,
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. I read a lot of kids that escaped this cult. They were kind of, that was the vibe.
Okay.
A lot of times. We're giving you this space, and we're giving you this faith, and we're giving you food, and we're giving you a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's owed
type yeah.
thing. Like, you give us your money.
Yeah.
Which, what's essentially a cult.
Right, which is why it's not like a church that's giving of their, you know, assets, or they're not offering something to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a quid pro quo situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this whole kind of backlash in Chattanooga and Georgia, they decide that they're going to move up to Vermont, in Island Pond area.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about Vermont.
Me neither. I'd love to go.
I would love to go too.
Yeah.
I know it's very libertarian.
Okay.
I think it's very, like, deeply libertarian.
Ron Swanson's.
Yeah.
The Ron Swanson's of the world live up in Vermont.
It's a very good way to put it. I don't really know enough about libertarians. Have an opinion about
Occasionally, like, to tell my dad I'm a libertarian, and he very quickly shuts me down. But I'm not.
Does the fuck with him, or do you have to think you're a libertarian?
I like to make the point sometimes. And he's like, no, bitch, no, you're not. I respect that.
Honestly, he tells me I'm kind.
So throughout all this, and they're moved to Vermont and like kind of establishing this religion, they kind of decide to have some core beliefs established. They haven't been called the 12 tribes yet. It's still kind of like the Vine Church.
Okay.
I wrote this down, so I'm going to read it. So the main belief of the church is that they need to realign with the first century Christian church, with heavy emphasis on the Bible verses Acts 2:38-42 and Acts 4:32-37.
Okay.
I read these Bible verses and it didn't really seem to have any sort of weight. It just kind of seemed like just random Bible verses.
Okay.
To me. So they essentially believe that sticking to these verses, which entails having a kosher diet.
Oh.
It's very, Judaic and like Christian religion kind of merged together.
Okay.
So they have a kosher diet. They do bat and bar mitzvahs.
Wow.
They also have a Sabbath.
It does sound very
Jewish. But they also are a little bit anti-Semitic in the same vein.
Oh.
They believe, I can't remember the verse, I think it's Matthew something, but they believe the verse that basically states that the blood of Christ is on Jewish people's hands.
Mm,
yeah. So it's a little counterproductive also. It's just a little ironic in that sense.
It sounds a mess.
It's a lot of pulling different things from the Bible and like deciding this is what we believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, they believe that sticking to these specific verses will help establish a new Israel, and the new is
we're like Zionists,
a little Zionist too, but the new Israel is 12 tribes throughout the world.
Okay.
Hence the 12 tribes cult.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that comes from.
Okay. It's very convoluted.
We are really diving in so deeply.
Yeah, they really are. They also start changing everyone's names to Hebrew names. So now they refer to their Messiah, Jesus, as Yahshua.
Okay.
Which is, I think, the Hebrew pronunciation of Jesus. And that's when Jesus starts going by the name Yonek.
Okay.
It's Y-O-N-E-Q.
Okay.
So when you join the cult, you give over your assets and they start bringing you in. You know, they also have a lot of forced labor situations. Like you're working for the community, you're working 16 hours a day.
They exhaust you. They separate you from your family and your things. They change your name. These are all very cults.
Yeah, you're getting a Hebrew name now.
Yeah,
that's their whole thing. But yeah, that
separates you from your whole identity.
Yeah. And so another thing is there's no outside influences. So there's no outside education.
Sure.
For the children. There is no outside health care, which becomes a pretty big thing.
Sure.
And there's also obviously no outside pop culture references ever.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's like literature, TV shows, music, etc. Another big fundamental belief of this cult, which is probably the most problematic, is that children are born disobedient, aka evil, and they have to have their disobedience and evil beaten out of them.
Wow.
Yeah. There's been like multiple, I'll talk about it a little bit, but there's like multiple accounts of children like getting out of this cult. Like the shit they went through is horrendous. Jesus. So yeah, this is like a full-fledged good night. Here we are. This is now, we're in a cult situation. Also, there's another big part of women, obviously, in this type of situation when we're kind of second-class citizens. They're not allowed to wear pants. They're not allowed to cut their hair. They're not allowed to wear makeup. There's also this really big thing of women during childbirth are not allowed to have any sort of painkiller because they're basically paying for the sin of Eve.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, so now we're deep in it. This is kind of the standard of the cult, right? And so, like I said, the biggest thing is their crimes against children, and this is why, like, kind of the cult keeps on getting brought up in mainstream media.
Okay.
The whole children are born disobedient thing is basically kind of like their idea that children are born with the devil in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fundamental belief, right?
Yeah.
So children as young as 6 months old are getting whipped because they're being disobedient. And disobedience can be something as they wiggled or pushed away during a diaper change.
Sure, they act like babies.
They're acting like babies. You know, and it's just this weird gray area where parents decide that anything can be disobedient. So there's not a weird...
There's no...
There is a guideline. They have a manual called Manual of Training Children. Wow. It's 300 pages. And it's real gross.
But also, like, up to the discretion of... However your kid makes
Yeah. That. And Jean's whole thing is if you're not beating your children, then you don't love them.
Ooh, that's pretty sinister.
Which is, what does that sound like? Spare the rod,
spoil a child?
Yes. Yes. It's very much that type of dynamic within this cult.
Were you raised religiously at all?
No. My parents were both pretty Catholic growing up. My mom went to Catholic school. I think my dad did too. But they honestly have so much respect for my parents because... I remember my dad being like, listen, you do what you want.
Yeah.
You can interpret the Bible how you want. Your religion is up to you.
Yeah.
Which I feel is a very mature mm-hmm. way of handling that. Because religion is weird.
Yeah.
I believe that no one really has it figured out.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like most adults should pragmatically believe. I find this whole conversation really, like, touching on a lot of stuff. That is very close to home.
Yeah, because you grew up way more religious than I
did. Yeah,
yeah.
And my mom. In retrospect, it's a lot about my mom and her. I don't know, her propensity to be kind of taken in by people. And so my dad sort of always sort of just like went along with it.
Yeah. But
all that to say that we did a lot of very alternative type of Christianity.
Yeah.
And that was because my mom was also a bit of a hippie. So, and then there was also like a kind of a Jews for Jesus type of a moment too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you're covering a lot of ground that I'm tangentially familiar with.
Yeah. I definitely thought about you a lot. And that was research.
Interesting.
I feel like she's going to have way more insight on this than I ever will.
Yeah. But it's also like through years of probably some amount of trauma. So I can't like speak on it with any authority.
No, I mean, like, really, experience with religion is a very personal experience in itself, right? I mean, I think it should be.
Yeah. I don't think you can speak to it like intelligently necessarily, yeah. but definitely.
Yeah, like, not like factually, I think is what you're trying
right.
to
ask. Yeah. Yes, but a lot of like, none of this is shocking to me, what you're telling me right now.
Yeah. About this. I mean, it doesn't really shock me either. It just sounds like a very cult 101 mentality. The women being second class citizens.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I haven't like talked about it yet, but like they also believe that homosexuality is a sin and that homosexuals deserve to be put to death.
Yeah.
Well, again, they also believe it comes to Black people that slavery is okay via the Bible. With a story called The Curse of Ham.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's quotes from them
yeah.
talking about this. It's just, I think it's a lot of like Christian groups have also used this story.
Yes.
To okay racism and like slavery and being like basically like slavery was an opportunity.
There's this idea that I want to say it's like Abraham's children.
It's Noah.
Is it Noah? Okay.
Yeah.
But like, his children, one of them was the bad guy.
Yes.
And one of them wasn't.
Yeah.
And Ham was the bad guy.
Yeah.
And also happened to be the brown one, I guess, even though
that's like kind of what has been interpreted
for
2,000 fucking years of interpretation of the story.
Like, it's insane.
It's this weird one-off random story that is making people say that slavery was okay.
Not fucking okay.
I use the Bible to justify that. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Familiar with this line of thought.
Yeah. So that's kind of the line of thought with their like justification of that.
Yeah.
On their website, they literally have like a FAQ section. And one of the questions is, are we racist?
The answer is yes. Because if you have to have a fucking question on there that asks, are we racist? You're fucking racist.
Yes. Extremely racist.
Extremely.
Educate yourself. Read a fucking book that's banned, probably.
The cult leadership was also
very outspoken about beating children.
They would talk about it with news programs. They'd be like, oh, like, we use...
They always say, like, balloon sticks.
Okay. You know, like, when you get a little tiny helium balloon, there's, like, a stick.
They said they would use that.
To hit, to beat the kids with?
To beat kids.
Okay.
And that was kind of their stance. You know, like, it's corporal punishment...
Corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm. Corporal punishment. America in that era,
it definitely
wasn't unheard of.
Right? No, not at all.
You know, there was this raid that happened on their Vermont compound in 1984 because there was, you know, some talks of children being abused. But the raid was basically completely thrown out because the judge was given a warrant that had a bunch of kids' names on it, but like no one knew the kids' names. Because they were all born within the compound, so there's no birth records.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they performed this raid unconstitutionally.
Wait, where did they get the kids' names from?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, the DA probably made it up because it's for the greater good. That's, like, we're in gray area of the law, right?
Wow.
So that raid was completely thrown out. There was a raid that happened in Germany because this is how far this cult goes.
Oh, God. Okay.
There's a compound in Germany. There was a raid that happened in Germany of the same cult because Germany doesn't allow corporal punishment at all. And they were able to remove all the kids from that compound because of that.
Okay.
I think it was like 40 something kids.
Good.
They were removed.
Okay. Wow.
So yeah, this cult's still active. And I'll get to that in a minute.
My God. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, this whole belief that children are beaten into obedience is really fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the big thing that's come from all the kids that have escaped this cult, because now that all these kids are 18 plus, right?
Yeah,
they're essentially born to this cult. They all ran away and they found family members and, you know, like third cousins and people who had already left the cult, and like they basically had to start a new life.
Yeah,
they had no education because they're all homeschooled.
Yeah,
they're all homeschooled for maybe 5 years tops. But then after that, they're learned this lifelong apprenticeship at factories and other manufacturing. Because this cult also has, like, a ton of construction companies.
God.
Which is also awful. But, like, these construction companies, people work for free.
Yeah, it's free labor.
It's free labor. And it's the same thing with all the delis and the bakeries they own.
What the hell is Gene doing?
Gene is
wealthy?
He must be. It's really... No one can tell if he actually had, like, a ton of wealth from this.
Okay.
Or if he, like, fundamentally believed it.
Okay.
There's also a lot of speculation that Marcia, his wife, kind of at the end, was starting to end of his life. He's dead now.
Okay.
At the end of his life was kind of the person running the cult. Because Marcia was sleeping around on Gene.
Okay.
She was, like, going around the compound and just... had multiple partners.
Okay.
It's a real feminist icon, honestly.
I was like, I'm not mad at her, but...
Like, I'm not mad at you, Marcia.
I don't like her, but...
No, she's not great. I mean, she also kind of seemed like she was okay with all of this abuse and how they treated women.
And
piece of work.
But not her.
A real piece of work.
Yeah, okay.
They're both pieces of work.
Like, neither of them are great.
But there's a lot of rumors. Because everyone escaping the cult now is... They're like, the kids... There's not, like, a lot of, like, higher-ups that have left yet. Like, not like Scientology.
Okay.
What's the guy?
LRH?
No, but like, what's the guy? He was a really higher rep in Scientology that left.
He works with Leah Remini now?
Yes.
I don't know his name, but I know
the same. Well, you know, we get a lot of information from him about Scientology specifically because he was so high up.
Yeah.
And he knows kind of how much a piece of shit Davis Miscavige was.
Is it Rinder?
I don't know. David?
Mike?
Weird. No, David Miscavige is the bad guy.
Oh, I think it's Mike Rinder.
I did watch that show.
I'm pulling that all the way out of my ass, so if it isn't.
Fully,
completely,
none of us know.
There's none of that happening right now with this cult.
There's no higher up.
No one is whistleblowing.
No one's whistleblowing
yet.
So Jean died in 2021.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she lived to a ripe old age.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
He didn't have that.
He wasn't working hard.
Everyone was working for him. It's presumed that he died of COVID.
Okay.
Because, granted, these people don't believe in healthcare, so they...
Sure.
It says that he dies from some sort of respiratory
disease. Okay.
Maybe pneumonia, maybe it was COVID.
Okay.
Nobody knows. Yeah, like, Marcia's also passed away. I couldn't find her actual statistics on when she died, but she's gone. So there's about this big... There's a number two that I really didn't get into. Him and his wife.
She has all successors.
Yeah, they have successors. He didn't have any kids within the cult.
Mm.
One of his first three wives had a kid with him. But he left the marriage pretty quickly. It's kind of funny because on like the 12 Tribes website, they described the first three wives as they just like didn't understand him.
Oh, okay.
He was just really misunderstood. And I mean, it was just a really, he just like didn't understand. They like didn't get his vibe. He's like the original incel on this or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He had a kid, one of them. I also can't find their names, which I mean,
good for them.
Like, they probably changed their names at some point. Disassociated completely after all this.
Yeah.
I watched this A&E documentary about this woman who escaped from this cult. She now goes by Sammy. I think during her time in the cult, she was called Batah.
Okay.
She would talk about being beaten like 4 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah. They'd also starve their kids as punishment because their whole thing about this cult is creating a second generation of obedient people, obedient to Yahshua. Because disobedience has been beaten out of them.
Right.
And so she talked about like how, you know, she was beaten that long, locked into her rooms for multiple days, given one meal a day. You know, there's a lot of horrific things for her as a whole right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kids escaping and they're talking about just kind of like what's happening now and like within this cult. Because it's still active.
Yeah.
So kind of back to the backpacking videos.
Yes.
So the Appalachia Trail, I've never backpacked on. That's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But the Appalachia Trail specifically, it goes through a lot of small towns. And this cult, the 12 Tribes, they have, I think it's called the Hiker's Hostel.
Okay.
In Vermont. And so you can go and stay at this hostel for free.
Okay.
But you...
It's popular, probably.
It's very popular with, like, through hikers because most of them probably don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably tired. They want to sleep in a bed. They want to take a shower. You know? And usually, the kind of the idea is they ask for funds of some sort. Or, like, donations are suggested. But really, what they want to do is they want to acquire some labor from you.
Okay.
And so they've been trying to recruit people from the Appalachia Trail that through backpackers to join their cult. Because essentially they're kind of homeless at that point, right? You know, basically they'll feed you, they'll house you, and then they'll have you work with them. If they really think you're going to join, they'll have you come to their farm.
Okay, so you have like a captive audience.
Yes.
They're like, we've got them here.
We've got them here. And also, they don't let males and females sleep together in the same.
So if you go there where you're hiking with your boyfriend or your wife, you have to sleep. They separate you?
You have to be separated.
Okay.
It's funny because I watched a couple videos of a lot of backpackers that stayed there. But, oh, yeah, they were pretty nice. Like, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, I didn't really engage with them unless I had to. And it's funny because they were all, do your research before you show up, before you judge this cult. And it was like, okay, like, I am. This cult's fucking awful.
You didn't do your own research.
I feel like they were kind of being around the bush because a lot of those, like, YouTube channels are not specifically about this stuff, right? It's about backpacking.
Oh, do you think it's, like, a gentle warning?
I think it's a gentle warning.
Oh, okay.
Where everyone was just like, you're in research and kind of deep diver.
That's how you ended up
diving into this.
Learning about this.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a couple backpacking videos I watched.
Wow.
Those two people stayed there and they had some very unique experiences. Like, it was a woman on one of them and she was talking about, she was trying to, like, help some men lift a couch because they were moving furniture around. And a woman from the cult grabbed her and said, oh, no. You can't lift anything. Otherwise, you'll be able to bear children.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, she's like, that's strange.
And yeah, she was like, okay, I was just gonna help, but whatever. You know, and they kind of gauge people as they come in, right? If it's someone who's maybe on a lower point in their life, those are the people they kind of focus on.
Sure.
They're like, which is kind of cult 101.
Definitely.
They kind of capitalize on people who are in a hard spot.
Yeah.
But that's also, now they have these yellow delis. They call them the yellow deli. They have a lot of yellow delis in freshman campus areas and universities.
Really?
Yeah. So they're focusing on younger people.
Yes.
People who are experiencing not having a place to live. And so they're kind of focusing on those people and like trying to bring those people in.
The future of your cult depends on the youth,
I guess.
Cult.
Yeah, I mean, specifically for this one, for sure. Like the whole obedience thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, if you see the yellow deli, just
steer clear.
Steer clear. Evidently they have good food. So I'm worth it.
I doubt it. Maybe some oyster stuff.
Some oyster stuff.
Extra water cheddar
fucking specialty. That is the 12 tribes.
Fascinating. I did not know about that.
Yeah, there is so much more. I listened to a couple podcasts, watched a couple documentaries. There's just like, it's a cult no one really knows about, but it's pretty active still.
Yeah.
In the States.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking bunch of assholes.
But yeah, that's the 12 tribes. I'm sorry.
I hate them.
I hate them too. A cult is a religion with no political power. Tom Wolfe. Welcome to Grimly. A cult is a religion with no political power. Tom Wolfe. Welcome to Grimly.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.